You're about to hear the only advertising program on BBC. It's the Giant Economy Show, which two can hear as cheaply as one.
It's something to shout about, it's something to shout about, it's something to shout about and cry out loud.
It's new,
it's heartwarming,
it's non-habit forming. We can really guarantee it's something, something to shout about.
The action takes place in and around the offices of Apsley, Addis, Cohn, Barbican, Blythe and Gideon Partners, who'd like it known that they have no connection with any other firm of the same name. The time is the present or soon after. Michael Medwin, with Eleanor Summerfield, Fenella Fielding and Joan Sims, and a cast of several, bring you a light-hearted expose of the advertising world.
Michael?
Not just now, Janet. I'm addressing the ball now. Stiff left arm, keep the head still, very still, and whack into the back of the ball. Oh, jolly good show. I got the waste paper basket in one. That's the eighth time this morning. Now then, just one more shot. Oh, well played. Got the goldfish bowl in one.
Look at that poor little goldfish. He's looking at the golf ball in utter amazement.
Yes, I bet he's saying, I've heard of ants' eggs, but this is ridiculous.
Now, Michael, it's 11 o'clock. Don't you think perhaps you want to get down...
I said, Michael, is your phone out of order? J.S. has been trying to get through to you for the past half hour. All he can hear is a ball bouncing around and people shouting fall.
Well, perhaps the girls on the switchboard are playing roulette.
Well, perhaps it's because your receiver is off the hook. Michael, stop trying to hide your niblick in Janet's umbrella and listen to me.
It's not a niblick. It's a number 9 iron. I keep it here in case a strange man breaks in so that Janet can defend herself.
Whatever makes you think she'd want to?
Well, darling, we don't all have your handicap.
Now, girls. Business before pleasure.
Michael, have you heard the buzz about Charles Higgins?
The Charles Higgins? The blanket king?
Yes, that's right. The man who makes Bar blankets. Biggest firm of its kind in the British Isles. Well, he's just torn up his contract with Barclay and Partners, so now he'll be looking for another firm to do his advertising.
Do you think we can get the account?
I hope so. It's a millionaire firm. The man's loaded.
I know. I was reading about him in the paper. It said he just bought a big house in the country with an 18-hole golf course. I couldn't believe it.
Well, lots of rich people have houses with golf courses.
Yes, but not inside.
Oh, money isn't everything, you know. I like a man with character.
Well, the one who collected you the other night was a character, all right.
Stop wasting time, Michael.
All right. Well, I vote I go and see Charles Higgins as soon as possible.
Yeah, I'll get Adrian to phone his office for an appointment.
Yeah, but Adrian's a copywriter. It's not really his job to...
I know. It's the old pals act. Adrian and Charles Higgins were friends during the war.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. They were in uniform together.
Must have been very crowded.
Yeah. Michael, please, take this seriously. We must map out a campaign in advance. As soon as Adrian's fixed an appointment, we'll have a blanket conference.
Well, that should be nice and cozy.
Michael, I fixed it, old boy, I fixed it. We're seeing Charles Higgins at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, I didn't know you knew him during the war. I mean, he's such a big man these days.
Well, I must confess I felt a bit awkward speaking to him. You see, there was quite a difference in our ranks.
He was your CO?
No, my batman. I was a flight lieutenant.
Ground staff, of course.
Not at all. I spent most of my time in Wellington.
Must have been very muddy.
Why is it that your batman is now the blanket king?
Well, in 1940, he started flogging army blankets, and since then, he's never looked back. Six-fingered Charlie, we used to call him.
Sounds quite a character.
Flog anything to anyone, Charles would. I still remember meeting the local postmistress wearing a dress made from a parachute and the CEO's flying boots.
He might have sold her a pair of windsocks to keep her feet warm.
Well, Michael, now, this is your big chance. Don't muff it.
Morning, all. They've just sent me up from the typing pool. Is this the Polar Cat Fridge Conference?
Wrong, Mavis. That's tomorrow.
Oh, is it? But I thought it was on Wednesday.
Yes, it is. Wednesday's tomorrow as well.
What, as well as today? Is it leap year?
Mavis, today is Tuesday throughout. Is that clear?
Well, I can't help getting confused. You see, I'm working on last year's calendar. It's a Pericomo pin-up calendar. I can't bear to throw it away. So I've been adding one on.
You made a mistake somewhere.
Yes, I'll have to go back to January the 1st and start again. Mm.
Now, Michael, be guided by me. If you're going to see Charlie Higgins, we must map out a campaign in advance.
Right, Maggie. Well, now you're here, Mavis, you may as well take some notes.
Well, shall I take them in shorthand, or do you want me to read them back?
Well, first of all, TV commercials. Maggie, that's your pigeon.
Well, I'm in favour of something slinky. Suppose we get a nice blonde model, put her in a black negligee.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Or we have her sitting on the edge of a bed. Uh-huh. And then we lower the lighting and fade in some music. Mm-hmm. Michael, are you with me?
I'm ahead of you.
But what's the name of their best-selling line?
Bar-Bar Blankets.
Well, she wraps the blanket round her, looks meaningly at the camera and says...
Let me pull the wool over your eyes.
I know. We'll issue a statement saying, the wool for Bar-Bar Blankets does not come from a lady sheep.
What's that got to do with it?
We can advertise it as non-you.
Oh. Well,
What about you're never alone with a Bar-Bar Blanket?
It's all right, Mavis. We've got enough ideas to dazzle Charles Higgins without your brilliance.
Well, just the same, darling. All tomorrow morning, I'll be sitting here with my fingers crossed.
Isn't that the way you usually type?
Sit down, gents. All make yourselves at home. Have a footstool.
No, thanks, Mr. Higgins. A chair is plenty.
Well, this is a turn-up for the pook and no mistake, eh, Adrian? Very different from when I was your batman. Have a cigar.
Oh, well, I...
Go on, lad, have a cigar. After all, I knocked off plenty of yours in the old days. Right, stinkers they were, too.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Go on, have a handful.
I must congratulate you on your success, Charles. I mean, this office, it's very well appointed.
Yes, even down to the gold-plated toothpicks. And look at those paintings, Adrian.
All genuine, you know. Every one painted by hand. Oh, yes. I got a couple of Rembrandts, two or three Toulouse-Lautrecs, some cannellonis.
Have you got a Botticelli?
No, a Rolls-Royce. I don't go much on these Italian bubble cars. Now...
Charles, we really came to discuss business. Michael and I have mapped out a few ideas which might interest you.
Adrian, Luke, I'll be frank with you. I didn't invite you gents over here to discuss business.
But we planned a wholesale campaign for your blankets.
You see? Blankets. Whenever the name of Charles Higgins Esquire is mentioned, people immediately think of blankets.
You're lucky. Whenever my name is mentioned, people change the subject.
Look, cast your eye at that coat of arms on the wall there.
Is that yours?
I've got some artist bloke to run it up for me, and look what he'd done. An army lorry rampant on a field of blankets stamped WD. Two jelly deals improper above, and the motto dyed in the wool underneath.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Well, it's the same all over. I'm one of the richest men in England, and socially I'm beyond the bucket. And why? I'll tell you. I ain't got culture, that's why.
Oh, don't worry about that. We can easily put that to rights. We can make your blanket campaign the cultural event of the year.
You don't follow me, gents. You see, I too am a creative artiste. I've written a play.
Have you, Charles? I didn't know you could write.
Do you mind? I've been able to write since I was 23. That's why I asked you over.
Oh, and now you want to know how to join the letters up.
No, I want you to help me. Look, I've sent my play to all the well-known London managements and they just didn't want to know anything about it. Because I don't have the entries, you see. I'm not socially well thought about.
Well, I really don't see how we could do anything.
You have to know the right people. Be well in with the knobs. Know whether to take your gloves off when you eat asparagus. Now, being in advertising, you must know people who go around in theatrical circles. So what do you say? Can you help?
Oh, but of course, Mr. Higgins. Give us your play and we'll read it and we'll tell you what you ought to do with it.
But, Michael, I can quite understand why no management wants to put on Mr. Higgins' play. It's absolutely dreadful. Needs rewriting.
Well, supposing we just took the scenes where the family is living in a disused air raid shelter in High Barnet and rolled them all into one. Where would that get us?
In deep trouble with the Lord Chamberlain.
But isn't it rather dreary? I mean, they just sit there waiting for the all clear to blow. Then some workmen arrive to demolish the shelter and they find out that the war's been over for 15 years.
Come what may, we've got to get this play produced. Otherwise, old Higgins will never give us the...
Is this the compliment on Polar Cat refrigerator?
No, that was yesterday.
But isn't today Wednesday?
No, Mavis, Thursday.
Well, whatever happened to Wednesday? I seem to have missed it.
Mavis, whatever makes you so dizzy?
I don't know, but whatever it is, it seems to work. Say, what are you all doing?
Well, if you really want to know, Mr. Charles Higgins, the Blanket King, has written a play and we're trying to put it on so that he can stop thinking about it and give us his account, and it's called The Night Is My Undoing.
And sometimes I think I'm crazy.
Say, I don't suppose it'd be any use sending it to the old Vic.
Old Vic who?
Not a chance. They only do Shakespeare.
Oh, I saw one of his films once. It was called Richard the 111th. Oh, do you know, it was really horrific. What about when they drowned that bloke in a cask of wine? Put me right off me port and lemon for life. Well, do you know, I said to Janet afterwards...
Janet?
Yes, yeah, she dragged me along. You know what she is for the acting.
Mavis, bless you. You've given me a wonderful idea. Let's get Janet's amateur dramatic group to do old Charlie's play.
What, you mean the Maida Vale Thespians?
Yes, this is the very play for them. It's good and meaty and it has a message.
Maggie, please, you make it sound like a TV commercial for sausages.
Well, I thought you were selling blankets.
We are.
Meaty blankets?
But, Michael, how do you think Mr. Higgins will react to having his great emotional drama put on at the Boilermakers Club in Maida Vale? That's where the thespians always perform.
Well, I'll tell him it's our tryout theatre. But the first thing to do is to get Janet interested. I must get her alone somewhere.
Well, that won't be difficult. If I were you, I'd alert the police beforehand.
Yeah. I know what I'll do. I'll invite her round to my flat for dinner. In no time at all, I'll have her eating out of my hand.
Why, what are you going to give her? Fish and chips?
Well, did you enjoy the dinner?
Oh, it was wonderful. All 10 courses. 1 pork chop and 9 martinis.
Oh, it was nothing. I love to cook. Well, do you like the flat?
I'm mad about it, Michael. I'm mad about it. It's so... Well, how can I put it? It's so you somehow.
Do you like the decor?
Yes. Yes, I love the decor. Especially in the dining recess. That white paper and the red polka dots.
They aren't polka dots. I was drinking tomato soup and I sneezed.
I like that music too. What is it?
Well, that's one of my favourites. Short songs for lazy lovers. Would you like some more wine?
Well, just a little. No, not too much. You know, any more than half a glass and I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, well, in that case...
No, I've never drunk wine from an ice bucket before. Oh, it's a bit strong, you know.
Well, then I'll dilute it with some lemonade. That's enough. Janet, come and sit on the sofa.
All right. You're so peaceful just sitting here. The sound of your voice and the occasional click of the gas meter.
That's not the gas meter, Janet. It's the man next door. He's a jigsaw puzzle addict. You comfy?
Yes.
Are you sure you wouldn't like another cushion?
I couldn't eat another thing, really. Not Michael, darling, Michael, you know, you said you wanted to ask me something.
Yes, that's true. It's about the Maida Vale Thespians. I don't think the plays they choose really suit you. You're frittering away your talents in trivial teacup comedies.
Well, I'd hardly call Crime and Punishment a trivial teacup comedy.
Well, you ought to play worthwhile parts, yes, like Gladys in The Night Is My Undoing. It's to do with penniless intellectuals living in an air raid shelter in High Barnet.
Who's it by? Julian Slade?
You'll never believe it, but it's by Charlie Higgins. He's got the culture bug. Now, if I get it put on, I'll get his advertising account.
Oh, well, darling, what would I get out of it? I'd be so busy rehearsing, I wouldn't even have time to go out with you. Unless, of course, you're in the play, too.
Oh, Janet, please, I've never done any acting in my life.
Oh, you must have done sometime, not even at school.
Well, I once appeared in the school play as Shylock. Wasn't much good, though. The rest of the cast were doing Hamlet.
Michael, think of the fun we'll have. Think of the first night. You and I'll be on the stage together. I'll be smothering you with kisses.
Yes.
And then the curtain will go up. Janet, I've no option. I'll do it if you will.
All right, darling, it's a deal.
With my acting, it'll be a misdeal.
Janet, are you sure it's all right to rehearse during office hours?
Well, of course, we're all involved. Now, we must get this scene right. You read the man's lines and see if I know my part.
Yes, I love you. Love you as only a man can love a woman. Removes his shirt. Let me take you away from this world of shoddy pretense into the clear, purging sunlight of reality. It's your turn.
I know, don't tell me. Fred, oh Fred, let's pretend we're human beings.
Now, why does she say that? I thought they was going sunbathing.
Well, maybe you don't understand. This play's about people stripped of all illusions.
Oh, I know that. He's just taking his shirt off.
Now, what happens next?
You start ironing a pair of socks that goes on for 5 pages.
Well, look, I don't go on ironing socks for the rest of the play, do I?
No, here we are. He says, Gladys, it's you and me against the world.
Oh, yes, oh, yes. Oh, Fred, when I look into your eyes, I know that we can go forward together, side by side, with never a backward glance. They move left. We must look ahead, Fred. We must make something of our lives, and perhaps one day we can have...
A horsehair settee and move right.
A horsehair... Mavis, you've turned over 2 pages of real. Oh, it's no good. I'll never learn this terrible play. I can't go on. It's more than flesh and blood can bear.
Very good, Janet. Most realistic. Really sounded as though you meant it.
I did mean it. And I can't go through with it, Michael, standing there ironing socks for pages on end.
But look at the publicity we're getting. Tomorrow night's going to be a great occasion.
Yes, even my granny's coming. It's her netball night, really, but she's made the sacrifice.
Stalls to the left, circle to the right. Gallery entrance round the back and up the fire escape. Tickets, please, straight through the glass door.
Well, Adrian, the big night at last. Have all the press boys turned up?
Yes, the dramatic critics from all the big papers are here.
Hello, folks. Have you come along to wish me luck?
Michael, you really ought to be backstage getting ready for your part.
And what a part. I appear as an old drunken wreck, bags under my eyes, covered in wrinkles and a 3 days' growth of beard.
Oh, then you'd better go and get made up.
I thought he already was made up.
Thanks, friend.
No sign of Higgins yet. Oh, look, there's Mavis. Doesn't she look beautiful tonight?
Beautiful?
I wonder why that reporter's talking to her.
Probably thinks she's a starlet.
Well, no, actually. My name's Mavis Willis. Miss, of course. I haven't been in any films yet, but there's always a first time for anything until you've done it once.
But surely you're under contract.
Oh, yes. To Apsley, Addis, Cohn, Barbican, Blythe and Gideon Partners.
What films are they made?
Well, we did one about dandruff last week. And there was one about Monday morning hands the week before. And one for cozy by night dresses.
Shorts, were they?
No, full length. Right down to the ankles. And also drip dry.
And who's this lady with you?
Well, actually, she's my gran by marriage and we're just good friends. I was going to bring my mum, but she can't abide play acting. Says it makes people theoretical. Come along, Granny.
I say, Adrian, look, there's old Higgins. Let's go over.
Oh, hello there. Sorry I'm a bit late. I had a bit of trouble parking the rolls.
Didn't your chauffeur drive you?
No, he was in the bubble car behind. I wouldn't have him in the same car as me. He's dead common, no culture.
Well, old man, let's hope that after tonight you'll be accepted as a literary giant.
Well, I hope so. I'm dressing the part already. I've left off me braces. I've got a camembert around me waist.
Well, shall we take our seats?
Sooner the better. Come on, we better hurry. If we miss the first act, it'll spoil our evening.
That's a very debatable point.
Seems to be going very well.
So's the audience. They might have waited till the end.
It'll be over in 5 minutes.
It's no use, I tell you. I can't take any more.
Neither can I, mate.
It's about time Michael appeared.
Right, he's coming in now. I can see him waiting in the wings.
Hark! Didn't I hear a knock at the door? A knock at the door!
I can't. The door's stuck.
That's a good entrance. Straight through the wall.
Gladys.
There's dialogue for you.
Shh, let's listen.
Darling, I'm so glad you came. My heart missed a beat when I heard your knock, ring.
Yes. I hesitated several times before I plucked up courage to ring the knocker. My darling, is all forgiven?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. What we need is some more milk of human kindness. We must take the bull by the horns.
You won't get no milk that way.
Michael, why don't the commissionaires stop the heckling?
They can't. They started it. What's the next line?
You look so different with a beard.
Gladys, darling. You look so different with a beard.
Yes, I'm growing it for a film.
Eh?
Well, I had to say something. That was my line. What's up now?
It's the glue on this beard. It started to trickle. It's running right down my neck.
You've let yourself go. Where will it all end? Where will it all end?
I dread to think.
To think. You haven't even kissed me yet. You still adore me?
Wherever I go, part of me will always be with you.
You're so right. Your beard is stuck to my bodice.
I'm finding it so terribly hard to tear myself away.
That's torn it.
Before you go, tell me what happened about that novel you were writing.
My publisher promised to telephone me with the news. To telephone me with the news.
We heard you the first time.
He said he'd give me a ring. He's decided to send a messenger instead.
If the news is good, will you buy me that ring?
Hello, yes. Oh, thank you. Darling, they have accepted my book. And wonderful news, the war is over. It was over 15 years ago.
You mean... Are you trying to tell me we can leave this air raid shelter?
Yes. This is the end of our sheltered life.
Then everything's going to be all right.
He don't understand.
Critics certainly had a field day last night.
Have you got all the papers?
Yes, here they are. Help yourself. How are you feeling today, Janet? Any repercussions?
Well, I had over 20 telegrams asking me to leave immediately from Hollywood.
Oh? Where did they come from?
People living in Maida Vale. Ah, they've got a sort of sick sort of humour.
I can't find the criticisms in the Daily Trumpet.
It's in the obituary column.
Oh, yes. Ah, last night I saw a play called The Night Is My Undoing. Believe me, it was.
But it wasn't all that bad.
It got booed.
I definitely heard one man shout, "More! More!"
Yes, but he was shouting to the booers. Michael, isn't there one decent write-up?
Well, the critic of the Daily Clavicle says, after the first act, I simply couldn't wait for the second act.
So I left.
Oh, that's charming.
Brief and to the point, anyway.
Morning, all. Oh, you do seem upset.
We are.
Well, never mind. My mum always says, why worry? It might never happen.
Your mum is the last person in the world to say that.
Come in.
Oh, good morning to you.
Charles, this is a surprise.
We're all frightened, sorry about the
baby. We did our best, George, you know, but
really, well, it was really the audience. It was over their heads, you see.
You're all very kind, but I've been up all night thinking about it. And let's face it, it was ruddy awful.
Oh, you're just being modest. Oh.
Nice of you to say so, my dear, but you and your granny were sitting behind me. I distinctly heard her booing.
No, she wasn't booing. She was blowing down her ear trumpet. She got a bit of fluff up it, you see, and she forgot her pipe cleaners. Not that she smokes a pipe, she just chews tobacco.
Mavis!
Well, Charles, I'm glad to know that you're taking it in such a sporting spirit.
Well, I've been giving it a lot of thought, and I said to myself, Charlie, I said, you can't make a silk purse out of a pig's ear hole. But you can make bar-bar blankets.
So you're giving up the culture lark?
Yes, but, well, thanks for your efforts, everyone. And I've decided to award you the advertising account for bar-bar blankets.
Oh, I say, that's very good of you, sir.
Sure about it. Well, how about a little sherry to celebrate the occasion?
Well, I'm not averse to a little booze.
I keep telling you they weren't booze. It was a bit of fluff up my granny's ear trumpet.
Through no fault of your own, you've just heard Something to Shout About. Michael Lightfoot was played by Michael Medwin, Maggie by Eleanor Summerfield, Janet by Fenella Fielding, Mavis by Joan Sims, Adrian by Nicholas Phipps, and Charlie Higgins and several other unlikely characters by Warren Mitchell. The Jingle Bells and the Bernie Fenton Quartet were under the direction of Cliff Adams. The script was written by Miles Rudge and Ronnie Wolfe, who are working under assumed names, their real names being Ronnie Wolfe and Miles Rudge. The program is recorded and produced by John Simmons, of whom it's often said, who? Next week, the angry young men of the Maida Vale Thespians will be giving a reading from Emlyn Williams entitled Look Back in Bangor. Thank you.